Except for on the coast, not much water falls from the sky during the growing season around our region, so either nature stores the water in snowpack or we store it in reservoirs. So then, how to release the water? That's a big question at places like the Shasta Dam, which lets water into the Sacramento River. Among the creatures that need water, we have salmon, who need the water colder, sturgeon, who need the water warmer, and farmers, who just need to be sure there's some water there. Temperature immaterial. Researchers from the University of California, Santa Cruz, and the National Marine Fisheries Service think they figured out a release schedule from Shasta Dam that could satisfy all three in all but the most drought-ridden conditions. The research was published this month in the Journal of Applied Ecology. We have the lead author and one of the supporting authors with us as well. Liam Zuri is a PhD student at Cornell University. Liam, welcome to The Exchange.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
And Eric Palkovitz is here too, associate professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at UC Santa Cruz. Eric, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So either one of you, tell me what spurred the research in the first place.
I guess I have to say I became interested in this when I was actually working in the system. And one day I was standing in the river. I noticed it was really, really, really cold. The day before it had been quite warm. And that was pretty much what made me curious about water releases from Shasta Dam.
So the big dam exists now, and it regulates the water flows and the temperatures. Do we have any real good records on what the pre-dam historic flows and cycles of cold and warm water were, Liam?
We don't have a great sense of that. There's some limited temperature recordings from before the dam was installed. One thing we can say, though, is that the area in which we do our study in between Redding and Red Bluff was certainly much warmer before the dam was installed.
Okay, so the dam is actually able to provide colder water then.
Yeah, exactly. That's correct.
I can't imagine, Eric, the overall situation is unique to the Sacramento. Is it fairly common to have the situation you've got with different fish species with such contrasting needs from the environment?
Well, what's somewhat unique about this situation is that the winter-run Chinook salmon didn't naturally spawn in this area of the river. They used to run up further the river and spawn above stream in the cold water running down from the mountains. So they've been displaced. Their spawning habitat has been displaced. And so the management of the river to keep this part of the river cold is a consequence of the fact that they can no longer reach their natal spawning habitat. And so that's what creates this conflict, is that this is the area where green sturgeon would have historically spawned, but it's not really the area where winter-run Chinook salmon had historically spawned.
Okay, so with the dam there, the salmon just don't get to the places they would have gone where the water would have stayed cooler much later into the year.
That's exactly right.
So how sensitive are the fish to temperature changes, Eric?
They're very sensitive. In fact, winter-run Chinook salmon eggs need to incubate below about 53 degrees Fahrenheit, and if the temperature gets much warmer than that, we do see increased mortality, and we can see total mortality of eggs if it gets too warm. So it's quite important for the egg incubation for temperatures to remain quite cold.
And then conversely, what kind of temperatures do the sturgeon need for their spawning?
Sturgeon really operate best at above 60 degrees Fahrenheit, and we're talking about larval temperatures to support larval sturgeon growth is what we looked at. So really, sturgeon grow best at above 60 degrees Fahrenheit, but winter-run Chinook egg survival really decreases if it gets above about 53 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's the temperature conflict that we're talking about in this paper, is how do we maintain conditions supporting both species when they have these contrasting habitat requirements.
All right. So, yeah, when you've got a 7-degree spread there, and it seems like they work either better on either side of that spread, you've got some conflicting needs there for sure.
That's right.
So, Liam Zuri, has there been much science applied to water releases from the dam already? I mean, it seems like they would have been researching this a lot over the years.
It's a fairly well-studied area. I mean, especially in regards to the salmon that are supported to some extent by this dam, the winter-run Chinook. There have been a number of papers that have come out over the years trying to better learn how to manage those species.
So let's talk to help people understand the outflow apparatus at the dam. Give us a description of how it's used to affect not just the water flows but the temperatures as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's called a temperature control device. It's actually an incredibly expensive device that was installed on the backside of the dam. And essentially what it does is it allows the managers of the dam to withdraw flows from different depths within the reservoir. So warmer water, as the summer progresses, is higher up in the reservoir. And the cooler water sinks to the bottom. So the managers of the dam can either release water from lower in the dam where it's colder, or higher in the dam where it's warmer.
It's kind of like sticking your straw in a different place in your drink.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. We're talking to the co-authors, two of the four authors, actually, of a bit of research about releases from Shasta Dam that can help fish species with rather different needs for temperature in the river. The Chinook salmon need the cold water, and the sturgeon need the warm water, and of course then farmers just need water. They've looked at ways to provide for all three. You can join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So, Liam, where did you look for your data? How did you build a model for dam releases?
So we actually pulled together a few different models. First, we used a model on winter-run Chinook survival in response to temperature, and that came from the National Marine Fisheries Service. The green sturgeon data, however, was data that was collected in the field. That's by U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service down at Red Bluff. So we were able to bring together both a modeled approach by the National Marine Fisheries Service, and we're able to bring in real data from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
And it must have been a lot of number crunching. I imagine you have a computer set up to do all this for you.
Yeah, I do indeed have a computer.
So what did you come up with? You were looking for, let me ask this first. Do the fish help out with the timing at all? I mean, are there most sensitive periods for water temperature, at least not the exact same time?
Well, yeah. Well, that was the reason, actually, that one of the reasons we got excited about this system was the progression, essentially, of the research was we found that green sturgeon larvae do not do very well under the cold temperatures that are being released for winter-run Chinook. But then it turns out when you look at when the winter-run Chinook are spawning and when the green sturgeon are spawning, the green sturgeon actually spawn much earlier in the system. So this essentially was the reason that we decided, we can propose that there can be distinct management seasons, either early in the season when only green sturgeon are present, B, when both species are present in the system, and that's when the modeling comes in to determine the specific temperature and discharge that's released from the dam, and then C, towards the end of the season, when only winter-run Chinook are present.
What has been the regime thus far? I mean, what's been the general scheme of releasing for temperature?
So currently, the main, in addition to releasing high flow for downstream agriculture and cities, the main temperature objective for the managers of the dam has been to release cold water during winter-run Chinook spawning. Now, I will say that they do release warmer water earlier in the season because that, to some extent, can preserve colder water later in the season when the winter-run Chinook really need it. But what is unique about our study is that we're actually tying that release of early season warm water into management for the green sturgeon.
All right, so this is just a difference in timing then. I mean, that they're going to be putting different temperatures of water out. I mean, if they follow your plan at different times.
Yes, exactly.
So, would there be less total flow in the river than now?
We didn't specifically propose any direct changes in flow. I mean, Shasta Dam is incredibly important for downstream agriculture and cities, and we fully acknowledge that those needs absolutely need to be met. What we tried to do is understand where there is wiggle room, essentially, in the management of flows for agriculture and cold water for winter-run Chinook, and tried to see, can we try and help out green sturgeon without causing any harm to downstream agriculture or winter-run Chinook.
Eric Palkovats, can you give us a broader view of just how important the Sacramento River is to water in the state of California generally?
Well, the Sacramento River supports the largest agricultural economy in the United States, so I'd say it's of utmost importance. And so, you know, the management regime for endangered species can become a challenge when we have such an important water demand. And so I think that's why we have to be as efficient as we possibly can in managing the flows and the temperatures so that we can actually meet all these demands of endangered species as well as downstream agricultural needs.
Are both the green sturgeon and the Sacramento winter run Chinook on the endangered species list?
The winter run Chinook is an ESA-listed endangered species, and the green sturgeon in the Sacramento River is an ESA-listed threatened species.
All right, so slightly different status there, but both on the endangered species list, protected under the Endangered Species Act. We're talking about a piece of research recently published in the Journal of Applied Ecology. Liam Zary, he's a PhD student at Cornell University now, was at UC Santa Cruz with Eric Palkovacs, an associate professor in the Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology. This is called Managing Hydropower Dam Releases for Water Users and Imperiled Fishes with Contrasting Thermal Habitat Requirements. In simple terms, the sturgeon need warm water, the Chinook need cold water. You can join the conversation on the exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Liam, when you're talking about, we talked about the total flow staying more or less the same, is that right?
In our paper, we didn't really make any specific mm-hmm. distinctions about how the flows would specifically change, but we wouldn't expect that they would.
All right. So, so that doesn't really conflict at all with requirements to keep some capacity available in the lake.
Yeah, we would certainly hope so.
All right. We just talked mostly about the fish so far, but there is that third category of water needs for agriculture. How much does this complicate the calculations, Liam?
It turns out that as we were running the model, we found that green sturgeon health seems to be driven more by the actual flow of water discharge than it does by temperature. So that does set up more of a conflict between green sturgeon and the water users. However, once again, when you look at the actual timing of water needs by these two objectives, A, the green sturgeon, and B, the water users, it seems like the green sturgeon would be requiring these low flows earlier in the season than peak water demand, which is quite a bit later into the summer.
So as the season wears on and the reservoir drops, is there less of the cold water available?
Absolutely. Yeah, as we deplete any of the water, including the cold water pool, the options available for managing for winter run Chinook decrease throughout the season.
Is there a bottom, a figure either in lake level or river flow below which your models don't work?
What we found was that in severe drought years, the capacity of the reservoir isn't adequate to actually meet all the demands. And so we think that the management strategy we've devised works in all but the most severe drought years. But if drought does become a common occurrence, it becomes much more difficult to then meet all these competing demands.
And Eric, how often have we seen that bottom in the last 20 or 30 years?
Well, we saw in 2014 and 2015 conditions that made it very difficult to meet the winter run Chinook survival goals. And we did see that egg survival for winter run Chinook in those years was quite low. Given that drought may become a more frequent occurrence, we have to take that somewhat into account when we're thinking about how these optimal management strategies might continue to be effective into the future.
And so, Liam Zary, how do you present your stuff to the people who operate the dam? Do you send them a letter? Do you say, hey, read our article? Or do you, you know, have to go through some formal presentation process?
I just sent them an email. Uh-huh. And they did express some interest in hearing about our results, not the managers of the dam specifically, but a branch of NOAA Fisheries who are deal with the recovery of green sturgeon. So perhaps this information may make its way to managers of the dam, but not any specific pathway has been defined yet.
So we've been talking just about, in addition to the farmers, the winter run Chinook and the green sturgeon. Any ideas of effects on other critters in the river from the flow regime you propose?
You know, I think the decrease in temperature of the Sacramento River for winter run Chinook has likely, I'm going out to some extent on a limb here, but since the river used to be so much warmer and now it's so much colder, there's likely some significant effects to plants or benthic macroinvertebrates, other fish species, but we don't have any specific ideas of how or what those species might be.
Eric Palkovac, do we have good measurements of what the ecosystem was like before dam and post dam, and some comparisons? It sounds like, as Liam is saying, with the much colder water, this could be a very different kind of ecosystem with a lot of different critters in it.
Yeah, we don't have a great picture of the ecosystem before the dam went in, but what we do have are comparisons across years. In some of these drought years, we see. We can detect changes in the river system in drought years where the flow was lower and temperature was warmer compared to non-drought years in the past decade when flows were higher and temperatures were managed to be colder. And one thing that we found when we did some diet studies of green sturgeon is that their diets seem to be different in drought years that are warm and in non-drought years that are cold. And in particular, there are some key prey items that we don't see in their diets, some copepods in particular, that we don't see in their diets in years when it was particularly cold. And so we think that there may be changes to the entire food web that might be affecting green sturgeon growth.
Okay, that makes sense, given the different conditions in the water. And Liam Zary, did you get into the issue of raising Shasta Dam at all?
We have not at all.
Okay, not even taken up. So what happens next? You mentioned you emailed the findings from your research to the people in charge, and no response, or just like, yeah, we'll take a look at this, or?
Yeah, they did express some interest, but as someone who just finished their master's, starting a PhD, I'm not really sure at this point how research becomes policy. Maybe Eric has better ideas on that than I do.
Couple seconds on that, Eric, before we go.
Well, I know that Liam was encouraged to present the results of this research to the NOAA Fisheries Recovery Green Sturgeon Recovery Team, which I think is a great first step. So he'll talk to that recovery team, and I think that would be a good conduit for integrating this into ultimate dam management.
All right, so they've come up with a regime here that could potentially take care of the cold water needs of winter run Chinook salmon, the warm water needs of larval green sturgeon, both of them on the endangered species list, one endangered, one threatened. Liam Zary, PhD student now at Cornell University. Eric Palkovac, associate professor, Department of Ecology and Evolutionary Biology at UC Santa Cruz. Thank you both for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good day.